bless you. Beautiful song. The book of Acts, chapter number 21 tonight. The book of Acts, chapter 21. Going into chapter 22, I'd like to dismiss all of the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time for your special class, and you can escape the service. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. We have two books going on together. The Old Testament book I've preached on this morning, the book of Ecclesiastes. Our New Testament book is the book of Acts, and we've come back to this book tonight. If you're keeping notes with me, this is part two to this message that I began a little while ago on Acts chapter 21, verse 37, down through chapter 22, verse 23. And this is part two to this message. I think it's part two. It may be part three, but I think it's part two. We're asking the Lord to touch this. You're in chapter 21, going into chapter 22. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture in verse number 1 of chapter 22. I told you to go to chapter 21. Just go ahead and go to chapter 22 there, verse number 1. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." Notice he said, "Hear my defense." And this is part two to the message that I've simply entitled, Paul's Defense. Now, before I get started tonight, I'll encourage you, you don't have to do this, but I would encourage you to take some notes here momentarily. Because if you'll listen to your pastor and you'll apply this to your life, this will not just change your life, it'll change people around you. I remind you that there are two things that we can do on earth that we will not be able to do in heaven. Those two things is sin and go soul winning. Think about it. You can sin here, but you will not sin there. It's a perfect place. I'm looking forward to getting there, aren't you? You can go soul winning here, but you can't there because there's no lost people there. And as you preach through the book of Acts, it just keeps coming back and back and back again. And tonight is no different. I want to help you tonight. This is a teaching, preaching message. I'm going to take you to class tonight. Can I do that? And help you be a better witness for Jesus Christ. Because really, that's why God left you on this earth, is to tell people about the Lord. Let me pray with you. Father, would you bless this, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat as I get to where we are in the message. As we come to this passage in chapter 21, verse 37, down through chapter 22, verse 23, we're reminded in context that the Jews were in an uproar concerning Paul. See, they had supposed that he had brought a Gentile into the temple, and due to this supposition, all the city was moved, and they took Paul and began to go about to kill him, the Bible says. The chief captain of the band took soldiers and centurions and ran among the people, which caused the people to stop beating Paul. Whenever this chief captain and the band of soldiers ran in among them, they stopped beating Paul. And then the chief captain came and took Paul, not knowing who he was, and had him bound with two chains, demanding who he was and what he had done. The Bible says some cried one thing and some another. When the chief captain could not know for sure what was going on, he commanded Paul to be carried into the castle. And the people were following after Paul, crying, "Away with him, away with him." Now this is where we pick up our passage here, beginning in chapter 21, verse 37. As Paul is being led into the castle, he asked to speak to the chief captain. And the chief captain wanted to know if he was an Egyptian who had led a rebellion, and Paul told him that he was a Jew of Tarsus, a citizen of no mean city. And then he asked the chief captain to let him speak unto the people. The chief captain agreed to let him speak, and the Bible says Paul stood on the stairs, beckoned with his hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he began to speak unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Thus begins Paul's defense before these people that were gathered in anger towards him, and if they had it their way, they would have his head on a platter, so to speak. They hate Paul. They want nothing to do with him. They've beaten the daylights out of him, and he turns around. Do you see him there? He's bleeding. He's bleeding like a bloody pulp, if so to speak, and he turns around, and no doubt there's blood coming off of him, and he's beaten, and he's black and blue, and he raises his hand, and he begins to speak. You know, sometimes it's good to use your sanctified imagination. Travel back in your mind's eye and see that man of God turn around and lift his hand, and a silence comes over the people. Oliver Green put it this way. He said, bear in mind that this was no public speaker being introduced in a banquet hall or before a gathering of people. Paul had just been beaten to within an inch of his life. Such an attack would have disarranged his clothing. Perhaps some of it was torn away. And he said, I imagine there were bruises on his face, and no doubt some of the blows had drawn blood. The average person would have gone fleeing into the castle as soon as he was safe from the crowd, but not this prince of apostles. Oh no. He had come too far. He had endured too much to turn back now from giving the message he had come to give. Through the years of his ministry, his prayer and heart's desire for Israel had been that they might be saved in Romans 10 verse 1. And willing to be a curse from Christ for the sake of his countrymen, Romans 9 verse 3. Willing to face imprisonment and death if need be, Acts 21 verse 13. He knew the dangers into which he entered, and he chose to face them regardless, that he might win people to Jesus Christ. As you study Paul's defense, there are several. I'm going to give us just a simple outline, learning some things along the way. And then when I get done with the outline, which I'm going to get done with the outline tonight, but Wednesday night, God willing, we'll pick up with these extra thoughts that God showed me. That's not in the outline. It's just extra thoughts I want to give you in this passage. That's Wednesday night. But as we travel down through this, let me just tap on the head what I've already preached on. The first thing we noticed in verses 1 through 3 is we noticed the approach in Paul's defense. And if you're studying with me here, I've already preached on this, you can go back and get it. He showed respect to those he spoke to, and he spoke the language that they understood. Then we began Roman numeral number 2, which is what I call the account of Paul's defense. It's found in verses 4 down through verse 21 of chapter 22. This is the account, in other words, just listening in on him giving his testimony, if you will. It's interesting to note how Paul simply told his story to these people. We're going to read some of this momentarily. And as you consider Paul's story, his testimony, we're just looking at a couple of outlines for our admonition. One outline has to do with some details about salvation, and I preached on that the last time. You can go back and get it. So if you're keeping notes with me, it's the account of Paul's defense, Roman numeral 2, letter A, some details about salvation. Go back and get it. I gave you 3 or 4 of them. But I'm picking up my study with you on the letter B under this, the account of Paul's defense. And there's a second thing that we can learn here. And this is where I want to dwell tonight. We learn a great lesson, not only letter A, about personal salvation, what salvation is, but secondly, we learn about sharing our own personal testimony, sharing our story. I am convinced, and I believe I'm right, and it'd be hard to argue this, that the devil is a master at getting people to keep their story to themselves. Whether they're afraid to share it, whether they're intimidated to share it, whether they feel like they're not qualified to give the gospel, I'm here to tell you, if you're saved tonight, look here please, you are qualified to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are qualified through your own story, your own testimony. And tonight I just want to challenge you. I want to burden you. I don't want you to tune me out. I want you to ask God to speak to your heart. Because I am convinced that this is what's missing in our country. This is what's missing in our world. In the generation of a world that's screaming for answers. As one man said, Christians are stuttering. They complain about this and they complain about that, and boy, if we could just get this going, then everything would turn around. I got news for you. As long as there are lost people on planet Earth, there's going to be problems. And I'm telling you, the greatest need of our generation, The greatest need of our generation is for God Almighty's people to get on fire sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere they go. This is the message of the Bible. And I want to help you with this because we're going to learn from, if you ask me, who's one of the greatest soul winners that's ever lived, would you not agree it's Apostle Paul? Amen? Let's learn from him. How did he give the gospel? Because I submit to you that the way he gave it is the way you and I can give it. It's interesting to note in verse number 15. Notice this now, chapter 22. We're going to be just going to different passages, but look, I'm staying right here in chapter 22. This is when Ananias finally comes to Paul, and he says in verse number 15, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men." Notice this now, "of what thou hast seen and heard." It's interesting that right here that Ananias told Paul that God wanted him to be a witness unto all men simply of what he had seen and what he had heard. In other words, the Lord wanted Paul to tell others his own testimony. You know something good to remember when dealing with people you're trying to win to Christ? Let me tell you something good to remember. Just tell them what God did for you. Just tell them your story. Tell them what Jesus means to you now. Tell them how God saved you and changed your life, and now you can pray and get a prayer through to God. I'm going to tell you what people need to hear. They need to hear what you've seen. They need to hear what you've heard. You know, while they may not accept the message, they certainly cannot deny the validity of it, because you're talking about you. You're talking about your story. Hey, God's done something great for you when he saved you. Among many things, no doubt about it, among many things that he's done, is he's given you a personal testimony. He's given you a personal story. And let me say this to you, what God has done for you, he wants to do for others. And he wants you to tell others just what he's done for you. That's it. There is power in a personal testimony. I want to give you three things that Paul shared. This is where I encourage you to take notes, but if you're not, it's not like you're rebelling against the pastor here, okay, friends? Because some of you I know, you say, if I take notes, I'm not going to get it. I need to stay focused. I get it, so you don't have to take notes, but if taking notes help you remember some things, I encourage you to take some notes tonight. Because this is exactly what we see Paul doing in these verses. He's not telling him anything other than what he knows to be true about himself. There's three things he shared. Number one, under this is all under sharing your personal testimony. Number one, he told them about his life before Christ. Now read with me. Look at chapter 22, verse 4. He says, now he's talking here, and he says in verse number 4, "And I persecuted," notice the past tense, "I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering in the prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem, for to be punished." Look at verse number 19. He said, "And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." In his testimony, he shared with them what he was like before he met Jesus. He shared with them his life before Christ. But number two, he shared with them how he met Christ as his Savior. He shared with them how Jesus stopped him in his tracks, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. This is found in verses 6 to 16. Notice this now. "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, that for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of all that thou hast seen and heard. And why tarriest, and now why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you see what he's saying? He turns around to that crowd and he's bleeding, no doubt about it. They've beaten him half to death, and he's standing there with a heart burdened for his people, a heart on fire for God, a heart that knows what Jesus has done for him, and he wants these people to desperately hear what God has done for him, he can do for them. And he turns around and he tells them, he says, Let me just remind you who I used to be. Let me remind you what I was before Christ. I was a persecutor this way. He said, even the leaders here know who I am. I was on my way to Damascus to catch these people and to take them to be punished. But while I was on my way, Jesus stopped me in my tracks. I met God. The Lord told me that I was wrong. And through all of that and through Ananias, through this whole situation, I want you to know something, crowd. I, who was a persecutor, am now a believer in Jesus Christ. I got saved. And he doesn't stop there. He does a third thing, his life before Christ, how he came to know Christ, and then he tells him his life after receiving the Lord. We see this in verses 17, 18, and 21. Notice it. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Verse 21, and he said unto me, Depart, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. This is also seen in verses 15, where he says, Thou shalt be his witness. Don't you see what he's saying? He's telling this crowd, I'm going to tell you something. I know you probably don't believe this, but I was once like you. I was a persecutor of this way, but Jesus Christ met me and I met him and he saved me. And now that he saved me, he's made me his witness. And now instead of persecuting, I'm praying. And as I'm praying, God's telling me that he wants me to go give my life to the Gentiles. He gives a three-point outline. His life before Christ, how he came to know the Lord as his Savior, and his life now. After he's received the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, every child of God's testimony can follow this same outline. Every one of us. I'm talking about what your life was before Christ. How you came to know Jesus as your Savior. And what he means to you now. By the way, which one of those three things do you think is the most important to explain to people in detail? Your life before Christ, how you came to know Christ, or your life after Christ. Which one do you think, church? It's the second one. It's how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm telling you tonight that it would be great for all of God's children to learn their personal testimony by using this three-point outline, my life before Christ. How I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior. And what Jesus means to me now. With this simple outline, you can tell anybody, anywhere, how they need the Lord. And keep in mind, you don't need to go into great detail of your past. If you were saved late in life, let me help you with something. Don't give the devil the glory. But may I say this to you? If you're ever dealing with somebody who's right where you were, and they try to use an excuse, let's just say that you're dealing with a drunk. And maybe there's somebody here that was saved, and before you got saved, you were an alcoholic, but God delivered you. Anytime you share your testimony, there's no reason to tell people I was a useless drunk. But everybody can say I was lost and undone without peace, without hope, and not on my way to heaven. But if you're ever dealing with somebody who is an alcoholic and they say, I just don't think I can trust Christ because this bottle's got a grip on me, at that time you can say, let me tell you something, you're looking at somebody, the same thing had me. But when I came to meet Jesus Christ as my Savior, He took that away from me. What I'm saying to you, friends, is don't fall prey to the thought that I can't give the gospel. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the wicked one. You don't have to take a soul-winning course to be qualified to go tell somebody about Jesus. Now, we give soul-winning courses. We train people in soul-winning. But you don't have to wait until the pastor offers that class and then think, well, God understands, I'm not trained. Doesn't work that way. He wants you just simply to go tell somebody else what He's done for you. That's it. Just tell them what He's done for you. This is what they need to understand. What Jesus did for you. Concerning sharing your own testimony, W.A. Criswell, he's with the Lord now. He's a great pastor many, many years ago. He said, this is the most powerful defense of the faith of which we are capable of presenting to the world. Talking about your testimony. He said, this is what we know and this is my experience. This is not an intellectual argument, but it's what happened to me. It's not a speculation. It's not a hypothesis. But the best defense of the Christian faith when a man stands up and says, this I know. This I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost and undone and on my way to hell, but now when I put my head on my pillow, because of Jesus, if I die, I know I'm going to be kicking up gold dust with the angels. People need to hear what God has done for you. See, a medical missionary in Africa can say, I was on the way from Jerusalem to Damascus, and while I was in a medical school and interning in the hospital, I met the Master. I felt His call in my soul, and I turned aside from a lucrative practice in a great clinic in America and gave myself to be a representative of Christ in this darkened continent of Africa. He says that is powerful, and it is powerful. A businessman who's trusted Christ can say, I was on the way from Jerusalem to Damascus. Just apply it to Paul's testimony. I was seizing upon opportunities to make wealth and be rich, and my life was empty, barren, sterile. I was unhappy and restless, but I found the Lord. I met Jesus. He changed my life, gave me a hope. And my life is no longer empty, it's full. It's no longer barren, it's complete. It's no longer without hope, I have hope of eternity. Folks, that's powerful. A professor in a school that's trusted Christ can say something like this, I was an agnostic. I saw no meaning in life. Apparently the goal of all human effort and feeling was just to fall into the grave, and human life resulted only in food for the worms. I was on my way from Jerusalem to Damascus. And in the meaninglessness of life, I found the Lord. The Lord met me and pointed me to Jesus. I got saved. And now all of life has wonderful purpose and marvelous meaning. Folks, that's a powerful testimony. An alcoholic or an addict can say, I was on the way from Jerusalem to Damascus, down, 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 and as I was falling into helplessness before my addiction, I met Jesus. Somebody told me about the Lord, told me I'm a sinner and how Jesus died for me, how He's buried and rose again. If I put my faith and trust in Him, He'd save me and change my life, forgive my sin. And I want you to know I did that, and when I did that, He's delivered me from alcohol. He's changed my life. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You tell me something. What could a philosopher, an atheist, an agnostic say about that kind of a defense? The Christian faith is not an argument. It's not a hypothesis. It's not a theory. It's not a theological discussion. The Christian life and faith is a great experience. I found the Lord, and the Lord has saved my soul. What can you do with a man as he recounts his conversion? It's his story. Listen, they can argue all they want. I don't believe that. Doesn't matter what you believe. He's changed my life. You can't argue that. He's changed me. And I'll tell you something else you can't change. Hey, they can't argue with you. They can argue the gospel. They can argue your reasoning. They can argue books. But they cannot argue your story. They can't do it. It's your story. And if they try to argue, say, listen, I don't want to argue with you. I'm just trying to tell you, this is real. He's changed my life. He saved me, changed me. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, and He wants to do the same thing for you. I'm telling you. Listen, what can you do, as I said with the man as he recounts his conversion? To obviate and to deny what the man is saying, you'd have to obviate and deny the man himself. You'd have to deny his life, his character, his work, his ministry. By the way, every testimony is important. And every testimony is powerful. Even if it's not dramatic like Paul's. Do you understand that even if you don't have a dramatic experience, it's not in the experience, friends, it's in meeting Jesus Christ. And may I say that when God saves a soul, it is a miracle whether it has, I'm talking about miraculous events around it or not. See, the devil tries to make people think, well, you were saved as a kid. What kind of a testimony do you have? You might as well just be quiet. You don't have an exciting story. You ought to thank God you don't have an exciting story of a past that you had to get out of. Amen! That's a miracle in itself. And I'm telling you, don't fall prey to it. What difference can my story make? Look at your pastor. Won't you go try and see what difference it can make? Won't you give it a try? You say, I don't know how to witness. Yes, you do. You know how you got saved, don't you? By the way, when you do this, be very careful how you do it. There's ways to do it. You don't say, oh, God struck me down and I began to bawl and cry and I fell down and I was on my knees calling out to God. You don't have to say something like that, because if they don't get struck and start crying and get on their knees, they may think they didn't get the real thing. You with me there? You don't have to be details, but just tell them the truth. I was lost. I was undone. I didn't have peace. I was not on my way to heaven. I was on my way to a devil's hell. Somebody took a Bible, whether through a message, whatever, just apply it to your own story, and somebody shared with me how Jesus loved me. Somebody shared with me that I'm a sinner just like the world is. And they shared with me that because of my sin, I'm unworthy of heaven. But they told me that Jesus died for my sin. And He loved me so much that He took my payment. He was buried and rose again the third day. And they explained to me that if I just asked Jesus to come into my heart, that He would come in and save me and change my life. And I'm going to tell you something. I made that decision. I put my faith and trust in Christ. And I who did not have peace, I now do. I who was on my way to hell, I'm on my way to heaven. I who had no purpose in life, now I have great purpose in my life. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad I said yes to Jesus. I'm so glad He's changed my life. And I'm just telling you, because I love you and I want you to know He can do the same for you. He can do the same for you. No doubt about it. I'm telling you that sometimes people can be discouraged to tell their story because they think it's boring or not exciting. But whether it's like Paul's or not, every testimony of salvation is powerful and can be used of God to win others to Christ. Tell them this 3-point outline. Learn your testimony. Go home. Hey, if one person gets a hold of this, it'll be worth me preaching this. Go home. Get in front of the mirror and practice on yourself. Go home. Write out your testimony. By the way, I think it's a great thing to write your testimony out. What a great thing to leave for the next generation. How you got saved. So that when your time comes, your children, your grandchildren, and your relatives don't have to wonder, did they know Jesus? Yes, they knew Jesus. Right here is their testimony that they left behind. Practice on yourself. Because you know what I've learned? If you can witness to yourself, you can witness to anybody. Do you know that? Amen. If you can look at your face and witness to it, you can witness to anybody is what I'm saying. And I'm speaking from personal testimony here. Practice. On your life before Christ, just general terms, unless you're dealing with somebody specifically who was like you. You get that. Tell them what your life was before Christ. Lost, undone. Just general terms. Not on my way to heaven. No peace. No satisfaction. Nothing satisfied. Tell them how you came to know the Lord. And I'm going to dwell there here in just a moment. And then you tell them what God's done for you ever since you trusted Christ as your Savior. You got a pen? You got a piece of paper? For those of y'all who like to take notes. If not, they're recording this. You can go back and get it so you can listen to it. I'm going to give you two ways to learn the gospel. under point number two, how I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And I encourage you to take notes. One of them is by using your hand. And the other one, I thought it was appropriate. The Lord laid this on my heart right before service this evening to give you the gospel the way Brother Jack Mosier would give it. That's appropriate, isn't it? I'm going to give you two of these. In other words, my life before Christ, how I came to know the Lord, and I just told you in general terms, what they need to know is that they're a sinner. Amen? Now, don't take notes yet, okay? I've not started. What they need to know when you get to that point about how you came to know the Lord is that they're a sinner and they need to be saved. Jesus died for them, loves them, was buried and rose again so they can be, and what they've got to do is call out to Him for salvation. Amen. No doubt about it. Let me give you a couple of ways to share that story. First of all, using your hand. By the way, our children are learning this in the Cadets for Christ program. Amen. They're going to learn the gospel using their hand, and they can lead others to Jesus Christ as a child. I love it when children get a hold of this. You can use your hand, your five fingers. Thumb, here we go. By the way, this is being recorded. You can go back and get it if you want to keep some notes here. I told you I'm turning it into a classroom tonight. Okay, here it is. Learning the gospel. Hey! What we do with this message will determine tremendously where this church is in a decade. Did you hear what I said? If we miss this, this church will miss the blessing of God. Now, this is not the only thing, but this is a huge one. We want to be a church that pleases God. Amen? Well, one of those 13 points, remember the last one? You probably don't. We ought to be a Great Commission church. I'm helping you with the first part of that. Go. How do you go? How do you tell people about Jesus? Use your hand, thumb. Here's what they need to know. God loves you. I'm just going to give you the passage, John 3:16. Index finger. If I'm going too fast, I'll slow down here, okay? Thumb. God loves you, John 3:16. Index finger, everyone is a sinner, Romans 3:23. The middle finger, sin must be paid for, Romans 6:23. Hey, the devil hates what I'm doing right now. And I'm glad, I'm glad he hates this. Because I'm going to talk a little bit louder. Hopefully he hears a little bit more. Ring finger. Jesus Christ has already paid for your sin. That's the good news. Romans 5, verse 8. Index finger. Do we have any cadets for Christ in here? Do we have anybody that knows the index finger? You know the index finger? Do you know it? Do you know it? Okay, that's the thumb. The index. All are sinners. Sin must be paid for. Christ has paid for our sin. Cadet for Christ, tell me what is the pinky? Somebody help me. Who's in cadets and knows the pinky? Who's in it and knows the pinky? Somebody tell me. Yes. Yes. That is it. And that is so good tonight. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is Romans 10, verse 13. Now, you've probably heard me give that if you've been coming here for quite a while or something like that. And there's illustrations to use, all of that. But you don't need to worry about the illustrations. Just learn these principles. Let me give you another way to give the gospel, the way that Jack Mosier gave the gospel. If you're keeping notes, write an acrostic. It's the word cross. This is appropriate, isn't it? The word cross. It's the same principles, but just a different way. In other words, there's no one way to give the gospel. You understand? There's one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. But everybody doesn't have to learn it the same way, present it the same way, the same illustrations, all of that. There's beauty in this. The C stands for your condition. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The R is the result of this. There's a payment for sin. It's death, separation from God. Condition, Romans 3:23. Result, Romans 6:23. The objective, this is Brother Jack Mosier's outline. God has paid for your sin. Romans 5, verse 8. The first S, am I going too fast? Everybody okay? Everybody okay? Slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit. Okay. The C, condition, Romans 3:23. The R, result, Romans 6:23, that sin must be paid for. The O, objective, God has paid for our sin. Jesus Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. The first S is salvation. Call out to Jesus. Ask Him to come into your heart. When you do that, you are saved from your sin. This is Romans 10:13. Then, the last S is the word security. That when you trust Christ, now you are safe for eternity. Kind of hard to argue that, isn't it? Right? That's a pretty good way to give the gospel right there. Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. I sense in my spirit tonight, honestly, I sense in my soul that God is pleased right now. I sense it. I just sense that God is saying, I like that. I like that. And if one person gets a hold of it, just one. Hey, learn the gospel with your hand. Learn the gospel by using the word cross. That's the second part of your testimony, my life before receiving Christ. How I came to know the Lord, that's giving the gospel. There's two ways to memorize it. And then my life after receiving the Lord. Now, you with me so far? Yes? You're not falling asleep, are you? Nobody's checking the score for the Super Bowl, I hope, in here. If they are, we're going to vote you out of this church, okay? I better be careful what I'm saying there, because I don't know who is, you know what I mean? Anyway, let me give you one final thought here. This is Roman numeral 3, because it goes hand in hand with this. Now, you know, as we look at Paul's defense, what we've looked at is his approach, how he did it. We're looking at the account of it, just what he said, and in that we learned some things about salvation. And tonight was our focus, how we can learn our testimony and share our testimony the same way that Paul shared his testimony by this three-point outline. But I don't want to stop here because this is important. It's not good news. It's not exciting. But it does kind of keep our feet to the ground. Because here's how the devil works. Sometime you may say, okay, I've never done this. I'm scared to death, but I'm going to do it. And the devil may just make sure the first person you talk to shuts you down. Says, no, I don't want anything to do with it. What are you going to do, quit? You going to stop? Well, I tried that. I guess that's not worth it. No. I'm going to show you something here. After he poured his heart out to these people, the third thing I want to give you, and this is a short one, okay? Aren't you glad this is a short one? But I call this the animosity or the anger towards Paul's defense. It's found in verses 22 and 23. Notice this now. It says, and they gave him audience unto this word. What word? The word Gentiles. As soon as he said, God told me to go tell the Gentiles, that was it. It's done. It says, and they gave him audience unto this word and then lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. Kill him! Kill him! And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. Wow. Here's the point. God had done a wonderful work of grace in Paul's life. Amen. Changed him. Changed his life. Paul gave his story with great compassion in his heart. He loved these people. He cared about these people. Hey, these people were part of his friend. Did you know that? His associates. His countrymen. He poured his heart out to them. And he wanted more than anything in life for these people to say, "Thank you, Paul, for telling me that. Lead me into prayer and show me how to be saved." But as soon as he mentioned the word Gentiles, the crowd no longer gave him audience, and they began to say, "Away with him. He shouldn't live." They cast off their clothes. They started tearing their clothes off and throwing dust up in the air. I mean, they were fighting mad. Here's the point. We ought to give our testimony regardless of how the crowd responds. Because not everybody is going to be responsive to the message of salvation through our testimonies. There will be some who refuse. This is important to understand, so when it happens, you're not thrown off course. Let us just determine to be faithful to share the message, no matter how they respond. Now you need to hear what your preacher just said. God does not hold us responsible for how they respond. He only holds us responsible that they have something to respond to. And we need a revival of God's children telling a lost world what God has done for us. I'm going to come down on the platform. Well, I'm coming off the platform down here with you, because I'm just telling you something, friends. If somebody said, "What is the heartbeat of your pastor? What is his desire above everything else? What does he want Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to be? It's a church that pleases God, no doubt about that. And there's a lot of things in that. We want to worship the Lord, and all of these things come out of our worship for God. But there is no question down in the bosom of my heart, this is my heart. We cannot miss it on this. I love you all. Good night, I love you all. I don't think anybody can explain it except a pastor. The love that God puts in a pastor's heart for the people. I can't explain it. I mean, look at you. I mean, who would love you? You know what I'm saying? Man, who would love you, Jordan? Honestly. Don't put your arm around her. That's putting her in an awkward position. Don't get me tickled, man. You got me tickled. Can I kind of leave us with this? Are you glad somebody got you the message? You glad for that? Say amen. We are worse than a criminal if we keep our mouth shut and hold this to ourselves. There's a reason the devil fights against it. So I'm scared to death. Join the crowd. I don't know what I'm doing. Join the crowd. I can't talk. I stutter. Join the crowd. God's not looking for qualified people, friends. He's looking for willing children. Will you do it? Will you do it? Why not just start by saying, "God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scared to death, but I know what the pastor's preaching is true. Help me learn my testimony." This right here is the invitation. Not "are you convicted?" Nothing like, forget that. No. Here's the testimony. Will you at least make it a matter of prayer? God, Help me learn my testimony and give me the boldness to tell somebody else my story. I promise you, God will answer that prayer. I promise you He will. Be careful what you ask the Lord. Because if you say, "Oh God, if you'll give me somebody to witness to, I'll do it," I promise you He'll give you somebody. "God, help me learn my testimony." You get serious about it. And just don't say, "Well, help me learn my testimony by osmosis, Lord." No, you got to practice. Amen? You got to do your part. But ask God to help you get it fine-tuned. Ask God to give you a burden for people. Help you see people the way He does. Amen tonight. Good night. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of it. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? I wonder tonight, is God speaking to you? Maybe you're among those who've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart and forgive you and save you. If that's the case, in just a moment when we extend the invitation, you come, let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. No doubt about it. But I want to ask this question tonight. How many of you all know somebody? I'm not asking, everybody knows there are lost people on the earth. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, you know somebody. Somebody in your family, your relatives, your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors, just people you work with, or somebody in your family, or somebody you hang out with, or whatever. How many of you know somebody that you believe? You're not trying to judge, but you believe that if they died just like they are, they would not go to heaven. How many of you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? Yes. I raise my hand with you. You can put your hands down. I want to ask you a question. I know I just asked you to bow your head and close your eyes. Would you look at me just another time? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Say, "I've tried." Try again. "I'm afraid I'll lose them." Have you not already lost them? "If I do this, they'll never talk to me again." Is it not worth going after their soul? By the way, get on your face and ask God to break your heart. I'm thinking of three people right now, three. God knows who they are. Not in this church. People right now that God's saying, "Okay, boy, you've preached it. You need to go try again yourself." This is where it is, friends. And I think it's okay to get on your face and say, "Oh God, make me an individual that does this even when I don't feel like it. Because I know this is what they need." I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. And I sure hope that this would not embarrass them. I'm so proud of you two right now, I can't stand it. I want you to know that. God's working in your life. If you'll get a hold of this, change your life. This couple right here visiting with us, something special about them. And I'm not doing this to try to get you in this church. But I sense it, brother. God wants to use you in a great way. See, all the children here, I know I'm taking a little time. It's okay. I'm the pastor. I can do this sometimes. You don't need to see that game anyway. Amen. What would happen if a child came and said, "Oh God, help me spend the rest of my days telling people about Jesus"? What if a teenager got out of their seat tonight and said, "Oh God, Nobody else does it. I'll do it. God needs to break our hearts, friends. God wants to break our hearts. And if we see a lost world like God sees them, we'll never quit. We'll never stop. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Brother Gary beginning to sing, who among us is burdened tonight? And I know you don't have to get out of your seat and come to the altar to be burdened. I get that. But there's no question that God wants some of you to come to this altar. No question. There could be a child that needs to come. There could be a teenager that needs to come. There could be an adult that needs to come. And nobody needs to know what God's doing in your heart but you and God. But I'm telling you, the Lord wants to use this message to take us to the next level. He really does. So as they begin to play and Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to your heart, as he sings, you get out of your seat and come. Would you do it? As he's singing now. You come on.
Lord,
you come on.
Lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul.
What about it?
Through me.
What about it?
And
may
I faithfully do
this is where it's
my
at,
part to win that soul.
I encourage moms and dads, if their children come, you come with them. Would you do that? It'd be a great thing for them. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. This is precious to the Lord to see these little kids come. Oh my, if God just gets a hold of one of them. Amen. Just gets a hold of one of them. It's where it's at. No doubt about it. Let's sing one more verse, Brother Gary. Nobody else comes, we'll be through.
Lord, lay some soul
upon my heart
and love that soul through. And may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for thee.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I challenge you. Pick up some gospel tracts on your way out tonight. There's some out on the board in the lobby. It's a great way to tell somebody about Jesus. May God add his blessing to this. I love you all. Thank God for you. Let's pray and ask God to seal this message in our hearts, shall we? Brother Keith Watts, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lead us in prayer, just thanking the Lord for the day and sealing this message on our heart. Helping us to go home with this on our hearts. If you'll do that, sir, please. Thank you.